Good morning, everybody, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living Word of God, the Word of life that inspires us and leads us. And Father, we pray that this day that your Word and your Spirit would be at work in each of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you wouldn't mind turning to the Acts 13 passage that we had read for us earlier. And this is a passage of scripture that's very special to me because I remember the first time I used this passage of scripture was when Caroline and I were leading a pastorate together. And that's a large life group of something like 30 people in a church, St. Aldate's, that we used to belong to when we were married. And this group got so large, meeting in our one-bedroom flat, 30 people, that we felt the Lord was leading us to plant a new group. And I remember going to this passage, Acts 13, as one of the scriptures that we went to help us together to plant that new community. And actually, that's why I have chosen that passage for this moment. And for us, as Lydia has announced, the team that are going to be part of the graft at St. Michael's Church in the next few months. Because this is a significant moment of change for us here at St. Mary's. And this graft will change us. It's not just about sending people out as we want to, because we are a sending church. But it's going to bring change at St. Michael's that we believe under Lydia and Mark that God has called this team to do, and also for the St. Michael's Church as a whole. We want to pray for that church that they will become revitalized and renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit and the mission that God has for them down there in South Loughton, our neighbors, but also the graft will change us and for the better, and it will bring blessing to us. And there is a lot of change in all of this. It's unusual for a church to offer for people from one church to say, I'm going to leave that church with others and with a team and with a real sense of being sent out to help another church. And that does something to both churches, something positive, something for the better. And this is a genuine new season for us that we're moving into. It's because we'll be saying goodbye. It's to some people, it is a painful season. It's not easy to let go. It's not easy to say goodbye. Although they're only going down the road, they'll still be on a different journey. So it is sacrificial, but it's also beautiful. It's also very kingdom of God. It's also very joyful, and we can celebrate together that God is at work, that God is doing this. This is not just an idea that's come from the diocese. This is something that God has done. We've been I've been talking with a number of people for years about this. It's only recently that the diocese have caught on to it, but we've been thinking and praying into this for a long time. So it is sacrificial, but it's also joyful, and it's costly to be on mission at any time. When we are doing the will of God, it is costly, but it's right, and it's good, and it's what God wants, we believe. So we will be saying what we could term as gospel goodbyes to some people. And I call them a gospel goodbye. It's not just because they've decided to go off and do something else. They're wanting to do it, this team, because of their heart for the gospel. That to see more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be turned from death to life, from the power of Satan to God. That's the mission. That's the calling upon them. And that's what we'll be doing. And we celebrate that new work at St. Michael's. And we're excited also to have a new chapter for us here at St. Mary's. What is God calling us to continue to do, to be? I've been thinking over the past few weeks how really we are a missionary society here. We're a missionary society. That's what the church has always been. Sadly, at some point in time, mission agencies and the church seem to become something different, but actually we're all missionary societies. Every church is called to be that. And we're going to have new opportunities to serve, new opportunities to be on mission, new opportunities to love one another, and new partnerships with Lydia and Mark and the team at St. Michael's and all the congregation there. That's a new partnership. That's a new opportunity for us and something that we want to take hold of with both hands. It's an exciting time. And there'll be new opportunities because gaps will open up here at St. Mary's as well, where people used to serve and now they've gone out on mission, planting and grafting. And actually God would call some of us to step up. While some people are stepping out, others will be stepping up into new areas of mission and ministry. And it's exciting. And it's costly, and it is joyful, all at the same time, which is interesting. It's just like the New Testament church, really, because they didn't have an easy time in the New Testament church, but they certainly had a glorious time. They certainly had a kingdom-building time, and that's exactly what we're about. We're not here to build a club. We're here to see the kingdom extended, the kingdom of God. And so we recognize all this change. It's not easy for us as human beings. I mean, who likes change? Not many people like change. I can be quite resistant to change. I mean, that might shock some of you. I can be quite resistant to change sometimes. But change is part of God's journey, leading us on, leading us up, leading us on through into different and into new pastures and what God's calling us to. So it's a time of courage. It's a time to take risks. It's a time to sacrifice. It's a time to serve. It's a time to lean in, not to pull back, but to go forward. And we do it together in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church has always been about. Risk, sacrifice, courage. It says in Acts 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And with the measure that we give, so it will be given back to us. And it is more blessed. And if we want to be a people who know the blessing of God, which we do, then the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so that's what takes me onto this passage in Acts 13. Because this is the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey here. The church has grown from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, like in Acts 1:8 they said, and now it's going to the uttermost parts of the earth. And here we see a church here in Antioch, which was a great church, it was a good church, but this is the first time in the Bible that we see an intentional sending out from a settled church community. The other times that the church had grown, it was scattered, mainly through persecution, or the Holy Spirit just took someone like Philip and said, go there or do that. This is the first time that we see a congregation intentionally decide, without, not under persecution or not under some other thing. You know, they're deciding, we want the kingdom to grow, and so we're going to seek the Lord. And it says, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. There was five people mentioned here in the passage. And you've got Barnabas. You've got Simeon, called Niger. You've got Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul. And they were all quite different people. These are people from different social classes. They're people of different ethnic origin. They're people of different wealth. You know, you've got one man there, for example. It gives us this little bit of information, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That's quite an interesting family to belong to. That was King Herod, who had beheaded John the Baptist. And here he's been brought up in the same house as Manaen, who's now a leader in the Antioch church. Quite a diverse, small group, but a very diverse group of people. And this team. And then God said to set apart Barnabas and Saul. Interestingly, later on it got reversed, as always to being called Paul and Barnabas, but this Saul was, Saul and Barnabas here were probably what some of the best people in that church in Antioch. They would have been missed. Can you just imagine what it would have been like in the, on that morning when they announced, well, they're praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to take some of your best leaders and send them out. How do you think the congregation reacted to that? It's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes we struggle to, for people that we love, that we've journeyed with, that are great people, and we want to keep them. But the Lord says, no, send them out. And that's what this graft is all about. That's why someone once described it as a painful privilege to be able to do this, to graft, to plant. And the Antioch church had that painful privilege in their life as well. There would have been big gaps left by, imagine having Paul in your church. What kind of gap would that leave? Or Barnabas, who is described as the son of encouragement. I'm sure lots of people would have loved Barnabas to be around because he was a really encouraging person to know. But the gap would have been left there in the Antioch church, and new opportunities would have been there at Antioch for people to step in to be those encouragers and those evangelists and those apostles like Paul and Saul and Barnabas. And the church in Antioch still had a great mission ahead of it. It was a great church. And a real lampstand church, a bright church there. And they still had the mission of God that God was calling them upon. And very quickly, I wanted to just look as well at what happened to Barnabas and Saul when they went out. Because it's really interesting, the rest of the story. Because they prayed and fasted and placed their hands on them. And we'll be doing that in July. In the next few months, I would like us to have some time of prayer and fasting. And also we'll be laying hands on the team and sending them out, just as they did here in the early church. And then it goes on over these next few verses to tell us what happened. And very quickly, they went out. Verse 3 says they went out in dependence on God. They were depending on Him. They were sent out by prayer and fasting, which means they weren't going in their own strength. They were going in the strength of the Lord. This is something the Holy Spirit was doing, and something that God, they wanted to be dependent upon the Lord for all that they were doing. So we're not doing this in our own strength. We're wanting to depend on God. And you notice in verse 5 it says, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God. And the second thing is that they planted the gospel. A lot of times we talk about church planting, but really what it is gospel planting. We go out, we're sent out to proclaim the word of God. That's the purpose, that's the mission, that's the reason for all of this. Why would some people uproot out of a church? Like, you know, the team who've been here, some of them for many years, why would they uproot themselves and go somewhere else? It's because they want to proclaim the word of the Lord there also. And this, Saul and Barnabas, they proclaimed the gospel. And so do we. So does this team, and so do we. Now, verses 6 to 7 remind us. It says that they had new opportunities. It says that the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. And there are people who need to hear the word of God. And God will give new opportunities because of these, because of grafting, because of being sent out, new opportunities. There are people in our town today and further afield who need to hear the word of God, just like this man, this proconsul. If Saul and Barnabas had not been sent, would that proconsul have ever believed? That's the point. We're not in this church. We're not doing church for us. We're doing it for others. There's a role for fellowship and for pastoral care in the church. I don't mean there isn't. But the mission of God here, that's why we're still here and not in heaven, is because we've got an opportunity before us. to their people need to hear the word of God. In verse 8, we read that that something happened to this team as they'd gone out, Barnabas and Saul, and they met Elymas, the sorcerer. And it says that he tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And what happened to that team was they faced opposition. There was some good things and opportunities, there was also opposition. People will oppose what God does. And that is what that team found, and I'm sure that will happen. And I think Lydia is going to speak next week something about the battles and the victories that are part of this calling. It's not an easy calling, because people will oppose it. But in verses 9 to 10, what happened when Elymas tried to turn the proconsul from the faith? It says, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas, and then he gave him this quite direct, shall we say, word. But it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Elymas here was trying to, Paul was more concerned for the soul of that proconsul than for being politically correct to Elymas or risking offending somebody. I mean, it would be a bit offensive to say to someone, you are a child of the devil. That's not normally our patter that we approach people with, but maybe we need to learn something. So Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, rebuked Elymas. And actually, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he got a breakthrough. And we pray that this team and us here as we remain here will get a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. We need to, for those who are opposing the gospel, for those who are seeking to keep people away from Christ, we want to be those who, in the power of the Holy Spirit, get a breakthrough. And that's exactly what happened, because the last thing is verse 12. And it says there, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed. And that's what it's about, friends. That's what this is all about. People who don't believe, believing. People who don't know Christ, finding Christ. People who are destined at the moment for judgment, coming into mercy. This is what we need in our Loughton. This is what we need for the communities all around, not only this parish, but our neighboring parish and this whole community. People to come to know Jesus Christ. That is what this is about. And so, just in closing, there will be change. And there will be some people sent out. But really, we're all being sent out, aren't we? Every day, in different ways, to people who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it calls us all to step out. And this calls us all also to step up into the calling of God and into the things of God and into the mission of God, into serving. And there's nothing easy about it, because if we were just going to take the easy road, I mean, I think that would make us, would we really want to belong to a church that just took the easy road? That just did things just because they were comfortable? I mean, that's nothing to do with what's in here, is it? Just the easy road, just the comfortable route. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, the whole point of Pilgrim's Progress was to describe that we were not going the broad way that is easy, that leads to destruction, but we're going the narrow way. We enter in through that little gate. We go in through the cross, and we keep going through the narrow way, even although it leads us through difficulty, through trial, through change, through many things, just like Pilgrim did in Pilgrim's Progress. Yet one day we will get to that celestial city, and it will all be worth it. And we want to take others with us. We want to recognize, to celebrate what God is doing in our day and in our time, to be part of something that really is building the kingdom of God. And so that is an absolute joy and a painful privilege, but a privilege that we can celebrate nonetheless. Amen. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Saul and Barnabas. We thank you for the whole church at Antioch. And Lord, we thank you that they did not stay when the Holy Spirit said, go. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will Fill us now here at St. Mary's with the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to go through with God no matter what it costs. Help us, Lord, to seek you for the new season that you're bringing us into. And give us joy. And give us, Heavenly Father, the joy of the Lord to be our strength. And we pray that most of all, whether we're at St. Michael's or St. Mary's or wherever we may be, that we would have the joy of pointing people to salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray these prayers for your glory, and in his name. Amen.